Good evening, everybody. My name is John, and I am your host with the most. So be prepared to be scared silly, because this is Boo, My Dad Says. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Thanksgiving Eve edition of Boo, My Dad Says. My name is John, and I want to thank you all for listening to our show. Tonight, I want to wish my youngest son a very happy 11th birthday. So, happy birthday, bud. Your dad loves you, and I can't begin to tell you just how proud I am of you. I also want to give a great big thank you to Bethy077 for the very kind review on Apple Podcasts. Bethy writes, "Love those spine-tingling tales. Charleston is my favorite so far. If you have a personal story you would like for me to share, email me at boomydadsays@outlook.com, and if you prefer to remain anonymous, I can give you a pseudonym." Tonight we're going to continue with our haunted tour through Charleston, South Carolina. If you have not listened to last Wednesday's episode, The Many Hauntings of Charleston, South Carolina, Part 1, I would recommend going back and listening to that one first. Now, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. Our first stop tonight in the beautiful historic Charleston is the Unitarian Church Cemetery. The Unitarian Church was built in 1772 and then rebuilt later in 1854. The church is on the National Historic Register and is known as the second oldest church in Charleston. During the Revolutionary War, the church was used for barracks, and a lot of the church did end up getting destroyed, and that is why it had to be rebuilt. Many people are concerned that the cemetery looks abandoned and run down, but there is a reason for this. When visitors come here, they will notice that the paths are well kept, but everything else has overgrown. Since those who keep up the cemetery do this to show that the dead are reconnecting with nature, and it is a symbol of the reunion with nature. The Unitarians wanted the cemetery to look this way so nature and the dead can mingle again. But you can't have a historic cemetery without its hauntings. The first of these hauntings is the spirit of Annabelle Ravenel. Annabelle's story is a sad one, however. Annabelle fell in love with a man by the name of Edward Allen. They were madly in love, and they thought that nothing could ever separate them. Edward was a soldier that was stationed in Fort Moultrie, and her father did not approve of their love, and he did not want them to be together. Annabelle would not let her father stop them from seeing each other. So she would sneak out of her house to run away to see Edward. Because of how much he disapproved of their relationship, her father had Edward moved from Fort Moultrie to Baltimore. So I'm guessing her father had some kind of power, or maybe he was a military man himself. Annabelle was heartbroken. She fell ill because of her deep depression. When Edward heard how sick she had gotten, he knew that he had to come back to see her. He got back too late. Annabelle had died, and her father would not even let him go to her funeral. He blamed Edward for her death and was incredibly bitter and heartbroken himself. He had such a distaste for Edward that he had 6 different graves dug and filled, and there was no tombstone where Anna is buried, so Edward would never be able to find her grave. Edward would try to go back to the military once more, but would get thrown out. He drank too much. He did drugs. So clearly, he was not suited for military life. Although, he would eventually be known as the writer Edgar Allan Poe, and he would write Annabel Lee for his love of Anna. Our next ghostly resident at the cemetery is Mary Whiteridge. Mary lived near the Cooper River with her husband. Her husband was a smoker and had terrible breathing problems. He ended up getting very ill, and he had to go to Baltimore for the doctors there. When they were on their way to Baltimore, he got sick aboard the ship and died. Mary was sent a letter about his death, but she never contacted the coroner in Baltimore, so he is in a unmarked grave there. But now the reason that she never contacted them was because she collapsed and died in her home on the exact same day that her husband did. And she is buried in the family plot in the cemetery. Many people believe that their bond was so close that she died out of heartbreak because she knew that something was wrong with her husband. Others say that she was ill but had not been diagnosed with an illness because she was always worried about her husband's health. No matter what happened or how it happened, it is still a very creepy coincidence. Those have seen the lady in white in the cemetery think that it is Mary looking for her husband, since the plot beside her grave remains empty. Perhaps she is trying to find him so she can tell him where to go. Now, another famous spirit that has been known to frequent the cemetery is the spirit of Lavina Fisher. However, I plan to discuss her spirit in our next destination, the Old City Jail, right after a word from our sponsors. The Old City Jail was built in 1802 and was the Charleston Jail until 1939. The Old City Jail was known for housing some of the worst criminals in the city. The criminals here committed crimes such as murder and theft. The way that it was set up had the worst criminals all on the same floor and so on. The first floor was set up for the gentleman criminal. I guess that's your white collar, things like that. The second floor was for debtors and prostitutes. And the third floor was for murderers and thieves. The Old City Jail was used as a POW camp during the Civil War. The jail actually ran out of space for all of the Union soldiers. Some of them were forced to sleep outside because of the overcrowding. During the 1886 earthquake, the jail was damaged and had to go through some renovations. The jail's tower and entire top floor of the main building was damaged. These parts ended up being removed from the Old City Jail because the damage was just too much to repair. In 1911, the last man to be hanged at the jail was executed. The gallows were then removed and never used again. The 1930s saw the jail in a terrible condition. In 1939, it was officially closed after being the city jail for 136 years. The jail did become a museum in the 70s, and then it was sold in the 90s to the Charleston Housing Authority. It became the American College of the Building Arts and is used to show students about renovating and restoring historic buildings. The building is still being used, and those who have come inside all have a tale to tell. The Old City Jail has quite the haunted history. There are thousands of people that have died here, and that could be part of the reason that many spirits have come back to find peace or rest. Peace or rest of the jail. Okay, whatever floats your afterlife. There's been said that over 10,000 people have died in the Old City Jail from sickness, injuries, homicides, well, and of course, executions. The jail definitely had an issue with overcrowding, as it was built to house 130 prisoners at a time, but had been known to hold upwards of 350 inmates. Some of the prisoners at the old jail included Lavina Fisher and her husband John, Jacques Alexander Todde, and Denmark Versailles. Fisher and her husband had quite the reputation before they entered the prison. Lavina Fisher is known as the first American female serial killer. She and John ran a hotel, think bed and breakfast, you know, Airbnb back in the 1800s. And she would lure wealthy men to it, and then with John's help, she would kill them and take all of their money. It has been said that she has been a party to the murders of over 100 men. Jack the Ripper, reach your heart out. Paranormal experts will always bring up her final words before her death. If any of you has a message for the devil, tell me now, for I'll be seeing him in a moment. There have been multiple sightings of Fisher walking around the old jail, and paranormal teams have even gotten a recording of her speaking. In one possible sighting, Lavina may have been caught on camera. A woman named Christine took a tour of the old jail back in 2012, and she was joined by her husband as she was nervous to go on her first ghost tour. The gentleman who guided her group encouraged everyone to take as many pictures as they wanted to. Early in the tour, she began to take photos with her flash on, but didn't see anything out of the ordinary. Well, you know, aside from the creepy prison that they had found themselves touring, as their group moved onward, they eventually reached the second floor, where it is believed that John and Lavina were housed as they awaited their executions. Christine resumed taking pictures. Experimenting, she took her first couple of shots with the flash off, but saw nothing except a dark image. Once the tour was over, she was disappointed that she had seemingly not captured any ghostly images to share with her friends and family. However, when she got home, she began looking through all of the pictures she had taken, as she was uploading some of them to her Facebook account. When she had gotten to the photos that she had taken on the second floor, you know, the ones that she took without the flash, and that came out black. Well, upon closer examination, she discovered that those photos were not as black as she had previously thought. In fact, she could see two images now, images that appeared to be ghostly faces. Christina elaborated. One seemed to be standing in front of the other. Both have different faces. The unexplainable faces left her to wonder, could this be John and Lavina Fisher? There have also been many tour guides that have reported being manhandled in the jail by different spirits. And many have also reported seeing orbs. This building, I think, definitely holds a lot of spirits, and that's why it is considered the most haunted place in Charleston, South Carolina. Well, folks, I hope you all have enjoyed our trip through Charleston, and I thank you all for listening to this podcast. I hope you all have a very happy Thanksgiving, and I want to encourage you to come back and visit us every Wednesday for our main episodes, and then on Fridays for our Freaky Friday bonus episodes. However, there will not be an episode this Friday, as I am taking Friday off for the holiday. Until next Wednesday, stay safe out there, and God bless.